anything at all. If not, I'm going to begin my sermon this morning by sharing a few names with you from Scripture. And as I share these names, I want you to think about them and think if you've ever heard them before. And if you have heard them before, where have you heard them from? And so the first name is Shammua, then Shaphat, Igal, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nabai, Geuel. Sound familiar? Probably not to most of us. But let me give you a name of a couple of guys that were with these guys. And they spent a little over a month together. And their names were Caleb and Joshua. So why is it that we know the names of Caleb and Joshua, but not the rest? If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, right after Leviticus and right before Deuteronomy. The 13th chapter of Numbers, and I want to begin reading in verse 26. Now, having mentioned those two names, and as I read this, then you'll be saying, oh yeah, I remember those guys. Verse 26, and they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And I'm going to stop with my reading there. The title of my message today, well, first I have to tell you this. This morning at 6:30, we had a video chat. Every Sunday morning, my dad and my brother and myself, and sometimes when Adam can get up, he joins in on the video chat. And, you know, Dad just enjoys seeing his family and being able to communicate with us that way. And every week my brother says, so, what's the message today? And I said, well, I said, the choice is yours. And my dad said, we get to pick the message you're going to preach today? And I says, no, Dad. The title of my message is The Choice is Yours. So he said, oh, I thought maybe we were going to get to pick what you're preaching on today. I said, no, but that is the title of my message today. The choice is yours. And this passage of Scripture that I shared this morning, it is a familiar story to most of us. The Israelites were nearing the promised land, and the Lord had told Moses to send 12 men. He was to pick one from each of the tribes of Israel. And he was going to send them into the promised land, into Cana, to scout out the land. And in the reading, prior to that, he gave them some specific things to look for. In verse 18, he told them, see the land. He wanted them to see the people, and he wanted them to see the cities. And he wanted them to check it out, and he wanted them to bring back a report to them. So off these 12 men went. And it took them some 40 days, the scripture said, to see all that they needed to see and to report back to Moses and the rest of the Israelites. And so they came back and they gave the report. In verse 27, you heard me read, they said, it flows with milk and honey. It said, this is the fruit that we found there. And verse 23 said, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried on a pole between two of them, and they also brought some pomegranates and figs. That must have been one huge bunch of grapes. So far, the report's good. But verse 28 said, nevertheless. Another word we might use today is but. Nevertheless, or but. Why does there always seem to be a but with God's people? And as we read in the scripture here, it says, but the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. But the cities are fortified and they're very large. But we saw the descendants of Anak there, and there were all kinds of people. The Amalekites were there, and the Hittites were there, and the Jebusites were there, and the Amorites, they were all there. But we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. But it's a land that eateth up its inhabitants. Verse 32, but all the people that we saw in it are of great stature of height, but we seemed in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sights. Boy, what a report they brought back. Great morale booster for the rest of the Israelites who'd been anticipating going into this promised land. The scripture said in verse 32, so they brought an evil report. In other words, they brought back a bad report of the land. The reaction to that is found in the 14th chapter in the first verse. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Verse 2, and they said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. And they asked, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our young ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? However, and of course, like nevertheless, it's another but, there was a voice that arose from the 12 with a different opinion. And this voice was certainly in the minority after all that we've seen here. The Bible said that Caleb stilled, or he quieted the people, and he said this in verse 30. He said, let us go up at once. That means now. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And then I want to draw your attention to the 14th chapter again, beginning in verse 7. Caleb and Joshua were both in agreement. They said this, the land which we passed over to spy it out, it is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and he will give it us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Why do we know, you know, all those names I mentioned in the beginning, why do we know Caleb and Joshua better than those other 10 men? I say this morning, it's because of their faith that they had in the Lord. I believe we know them better because they believed God. We know them better because they took God at His Word. What was His Word? Well, let's back up to Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Did you see it as I was reading there? It's obvious, isn't it? What the Lord said in this verse was, God had promised the Israelites, and he did it more than once, that he was giving them the land. That land they had explored. And they came back whining about, at least the majority of them came back whining about. God had already promised it to them. God had made a promise to the Israelites. But there would be a challenge in receiving the promise that God gave. And, you know, God had called the Israelites to be his people. And they would be a light to God unto all nations, unto all the world. And he had promised them the promised land as their, I guess we could say it was their base of operation. And they would have the land promised to them since God had already promised it to their ancestor Abraham. All they had to do was to take the land. They had the challenge before them. The Israelites had the challenge before them. They would have to go into the promised land and they would have to take it. Now, if there were giants in the land, which that was the report, then the promise that God had given them would probably include that they would have to go to war. And if they were bigger than they were, which was the report that came back, then they would have to again trust in God who promised them the land and promised them the victory. See, he had promised them all of those things, but they let their human nature get in the way, and no doubt they let Satan be a stumbling block to them. Brothers and sisters, God would give them victory in the battle, but he would not fight the battle for them. You see, a lot of times in life, that's what people want. They want things from God. They want God to do everything. They want God to do all the work. But that's not necessarily what the promise is. God gives a promise. That promise is the end result of what will happen. But there's things that take place between where we're at and where we're trying to get to in the fulfillment of the promise. And we see that in this account today. The calling was they had to go. They'd have to trust the Lord and go. They had a promise that they would receive from the Lord the promise if they were go, and if they were willing to receive the promise of God. Now, if you're familiar with this account, you know how it turned out. The Israelite nation had a choice to make, didn't they? The choice was they were either going to stay or they were going to go. And the Israelites, ultimately, they rejected the promise of God. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have the courage to trust the promise that God had made unto them. And the result of that, we find in Numbers here in the 14th chapter, beginning in the 22nd verse, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, how many names didn't we recognize? The other 10. Not Caleb and Joshua, but the other 10. And have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. All of them, the scripture says, all of them but two died wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Only Caleb and Joshua made it into the promised land. Now, Pastor, you may be thinking, Pastor, what does any of this have to do with us today? I think, brothers and sisters, we're in a similar calling. I think this morning that the Bible is very clear that we are to be the representatives, that we are to be the ambassadors for Jesus Christ in the world in which we are living in today. And in the Great Commission, in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, we are called to go. We're called to go out into all the world. We're called to make disciples of those round about us, that we're to go out and we're to share with them and be witnesses to them and give our testimony to them. That's what Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says when it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." That means everywhere. And as I've said, we've got our own little worlds many times that we can be actively involved in, while at the same time we're being actively involved in the world. And we are. We support several missionaries through Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church that are extended out into Africa and into the Bahamas and into Jamaica and soon into Belize, and all of these works are affecting people in other parts of the world, but we can be effective right here, right now, in the world in which we lived. And brothers and sisters, we are called to reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to reflect the appearance, the likeness of Jesus in our lives with all the people that we meet. We want them to see Jesus through us. How do they see Jesus through us? They see Jesus through us by the way that we act. They see Jesus through us by the way that we talk, the things that we do. And we're supposed to reflect the Lord. And in doing so, the promise of the Lord throughout the Scripture is that we'll win souls. In other words, we'll be able to share with them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be able to hear the Word. And they'll be able to receive the Word. And they'll be able to respond to it. And if they'll respond to it with a repentant heart of faith, the promise of God's Word is that they'll experience salvation. The Lord will be precious to their soul. And I know that there are many people in the world today, Christians I'm talking about, that struggle with this part of the Christian life. But I want us to remember that we have a similar promise as the promise that was given to Israel. Again, the Lord promised them the land of Canaan, verse 2, which I give unto the children of Israel. And I just want to encourage you today, we can do this. We can do what the Lord has told us to do. That commission that I talked about, the Lord said, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. That's a promise that God has given to us. If we will go, and if we will witness, and if we'll tell about Jesus, we don't have to worry about not being able to do it or struggling with it, because He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. In other words, He'll be with you throughout your lifetime, however long you have in this world, or if the Lord comes back before you depart from this life, He says, I'll be with you. But we still have a work. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord told Joshua, He said, just as I was with Moses, He said, so will I be with you. He said, I will not leave, I'll not forsake you. God's given us that same promise. We are recipients of the same promise. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you, how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Christians, the Holy Spirit is a powerful person that's on our side. And if we've been saved by the grace of God, it dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit works with us. And the Holy Spirit works for us. And our challenge today, brothers and sisters, is very similar to the challenge that Israel had. They were to believe God. They were to obey the Lord. They were to fight the battles that God had placed before them, believing in the promise that God had made unto them. And I want us to realize this morning that we too, we have to believe God. We have to obey Him. We have to fight the battles that are before us in our life at this time, believing in the promises that He has made for us to enter into our land of promise. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to my land of promise that God has made for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We look forward, at least I do, I'm hoping for, looking forward to hearing the voice of God when He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What a glorious day that will be when God receives us into that place that He has prepared for us. And like the Israelites, my message title today was, what's your choice? What's your choice? And I want us to see in this record, there were really two choices here. The first choice they had was the choice that the ten spies that went out, all 12, but 10 of them came back, whose names that I mentioned that most of us probably don't remember those names. But their choice was to avoid the call. Their choice was to ignore the promise. Their choice was to run from the challenge. And, you know, we can act as if God has never called us into the fight. But brothers and sisters, God has called us in the fight. We can avoid the call. We can fill our lives up with things that don't have any eternal value. We can ignore the promise that was given. We can say, oh, Lord, the task is too big. I can't do that. We can believe that Jesus can't change the world. But that's not the truth either. He can change the world. He changes the world through each one of us. We can run from the challenge. We can connect ourselves with people who feel maybe just like we do. We can make excuses. We can name all kinds of reasons why Christians ought not get their hands dirty. And we can suffer the same result as the ten. They were not of much use to God at all. As we read in Scripture, they died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness because of their lack of faith to believe. They died in their in the wilderness because of their lack of their ability to obey the Lord, to get into the fight, to receive the promise that God had already promised them before they even went in. Their avoiding and their ignoring and their running cost them any chance of ever doing anything for the Lord. That was one of the choices. The other choice, or the second choice, was that of Caleb and Joshua. Live the call, believe the promise, and take the challenge. And, you know, they had to suffer. You know the record. Caleb and Joshua, they had to suffer with the majority for 40 years because of the choice of the majority not to go in and possess the land that God had given to them. But when the time came, after that was all passed, the only two that were able to enter in, they lived the call. And brothers and sisters, I want us to know this morning, we can live the call too. We can determine now that we want to live the life, that we want to share the word as we have been called, as we have been commissioned to do. And we can believe the promise that God makes to us. We can choose to believe that Jesus is telling the truth. I don't know about you, but I believe this book. I believe the things that are contained in here. I believe the things of encouragement. I believe the things of warning. I believe the doctrinal truths that we find that are contained in the Word of God. We're not alone. And the challenge, the work that is before us, you know, revival to me, you know, our revival to me is evidence of the need for the gospel to continue to go forth. You know, we were blessed with souls saved, but we still had some that we're seeking that didn't get satisfied. We have others in the church that haven't made a move yet to seek the Lord, but I believe the Lord will speak to their heart someday soon, and they'll come to a realization that they're lost, they're unsaved, and they need the Lord. And it just showed me the evidence of the effects of the gospel on the unsaved. And, you know, it just further confirmed to me that we as God's people, we need to wait out a little bit deeper into the battle for the souls of men and for the souls of women and for the souls of children, that they might be spared the judgment of sin. You know, we hear all the time about the Lord sending people to hell, but the truth is He doesn't send anybody to hell. The unbeliever, the one that rejects the invitation of the Lord to come and seek Him, when they do that, they send themselves to that place of hell. Not the Lord. That's just the righteous judgment for those that won't receive the gift. The Bible calls it a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here and unsaved, you need Jesus. If you're going to be able to inherit the promise of the land that I shared just a moment ago. And brothers and sisters, we need to follow the example of Caleb and Joshua today that's before us. We need to follow the call. They had a call. We've got a call. And the Lord, He will fulfill His promise that He has made to us. But the question boils down to, what is your choice? What is your choice today? Is it choice number one? Choice number one was to avoid the call. Choice number one was to ignore the promise and to run from the challenge. Or will it be choice number two? Or will it be that we live the call? Will it be that we believe the promise of God? Will we take the challenges that God puts in our pathway each and every day? Will you trust the Lord today? Or will you turn your back on Him from His call, from His promise, from His challenge? What's your choice today? And you know, that's what we all have got to let sink in. You know, I'll tell you what, it's different times we're living in today. Things are not like they were just a year ago. And conditions keep changing round about us with all the stuff that's going on. You watch the news, you know what's going on. You know about the unrest that's going on. You know about the destruction that's going on. You know about the sickness that's going on. You know about all these things that are going on. And, you know, despite what people say, you know, you got all kinds of people from saying it's the end of the world to it's nothing, we're going to be through this. No, listen, the important thing is with all this that's going on, I'd be concerned about the end of time. You know, the Lord promises He's coming back. I'm not prophesizing anything here today. I'm just saying that I'm looking around and I'm seeing all this going on and I'm thinking, if I was lost, I'd be concerned about my soul because I don't know what's happening tomorrow. Could the Lord come back? Sure He could. Could somebody, I mean, I'm amazed that every time you hear in the news, somebody every day, not just somebody, multiple people every day are being stabbed or shot, being killed. There's all kinds of violence going on in the streets. You know, I'd be concerned for myself if I was unsaved. I'm concerned for myself and I am saved of what's going on. But my point is this, brothers and sisters, what's the choice? Look at your world. Look at your family members. Look at your children. Look at your grandchildren. Are they okay with the Lord? If they're not okay with the Lord, spend time with them. Talk to them about Jesus. Let them know what Jesus did for them. It's good when you bring them to church, and I'm thankful for that, and they hear a little bit of the gospel in Sunday school, and they hear a little bit of gospel from the preacher when he preaches the word, but I'm afraid in today's day and age, that's not enough. They need to hear more about Jesus. We sing a song, More About Jesus. They need to hear more about Jesus. They need to hear it from mama and daddy. They need to hear it from grandma and grandpa. They need to hear it from their older brothers or sisters. They need to know about the importance of knowing Jesus and getting right with the Lord. And we're all faced with choices every day. And like I began my sermon with the names of those 10. Maybe some of you recognize one or two of them. I don't know. But for the most part, we don't know who those people were, but we knew who Joshua and Caleb was because they were men of faith. They believed in what God said. And this morning, I believe in what the Lord says. I believe that the Lord says, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're not saved, you're not entering into the portals of glory. I believe that. I believe the teaching of God's word that says if you've been saved, you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you. Every day you face choices. You either choose to follow the Spirit or you don't follow the Spirit. I pray that we'll follow the Spirit of God if He opens up a door of opportunity for us to witness to somebody or do something for somebody or just pray for somebody. We've got to extend the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to those round about us. Brother Steve, I heard you this morning. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for your dad. I'm going to be praying for your family. It's a difficult time. And in times like today, we get so wrapped up in other things. We've got to remember to be prayerful for these that have requests. I've been communicating with Susan back and forth all week, and some of it I've put out on the prayer chain, and some of it I haven't because it just said it's been a good day, it's a normal thing, we're walking, we're doing things, but I'm remembering them every single day, and I believe it's an encouragement to people to know that, you know, they're not in this alone. And the promise of God is, He says, lo, I'm with you always. But sometimes we need each other around to encourage and lift up, and I believe if we'll do that, have faith, obey the Lord, face the challenge. You know, I can envision those 10 saying, hey, listen, the Amorites, the Hittites, you know, they're bigger. We're like grasshoppers. We're nothing in front of them. That's our human nature. You know, it's like, hey, that's going to be a little bit more than we can deal with. But God had promised him what he would do. They needed to be like David, right? Israel standing on this side, and the Philistines on the other side, and you know, he's out there saying, hey, there's no sense all of us dying in this battle. Send somebody out. I'll fight them, they fight me, and whoever's victorious, That's who the winner is, and the others become the other slave. And all those Israelites, they're just standing on the hill looking around, looking at each other, you know. How about you? Not me. How about you? No, not me. And David walks up and says, I got this. He says, is there not a cause? He said, I got this. And so, you're too little a stature. You can't do that. And he says, hey, I got God on my side. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I got God on my side. He's delivered me from the lion. He's delivered me from the bear. And he's going to deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul says, well, put on all this armor. Here, use my... And I don't know what it looked like, but in my mind, I've got this helmet that's falling down in his face, and, you know, the sleeves are too long on the thing, and the sword's like this big, and he can't even hold the sword. And finally, David just says, I can't use this stuff. This stuff I can't. I got to use what I know. I'm going to use my slingshot. And but see, he had the Lord behind him. It was a great challenge that he was facing, but God was going to deliver him from that. And I guess my point in all this is we all face challenges in this life. And sometimes we think the challenge is bigger than we are. But listen, you got the promise of God. We just got to obey and face the challenge. He's promised us the victory already. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll make a difference in the lives of the people that know us. Those that are lost will come to know the Lord, and we'll be able to rejoice in that. Isn't that a wonderful thought? What a blessing that is. That's my message today. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Brothers and sisters, I hope that it encourages you to keep pressing on for the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down by the events that are going on in the world today. We're already victors. And whether we leave this life before the Lord comes back or when he comes back, our promise is safe and secure in the Lord Jesus. We need to be concerned about those others that are around us. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, Brother Allen, I wasn't going to have a song, but we got time. Let's have a song. I don't know your hearts. There may be someone here this morning that was burdened before they even got here. And my message may not have been directed toward you exactly, but there was enough in there for you to know that you need Jesus. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, I don't want to.